You're listening to Hearth Casual, the Hearthstone podcast for tavern brawlers, dungeon runners, and everyone else enjoying the game off the ranked ladder. Well met, stealthy scavengers, battle-crying banana buffoons, and Loa-life Rasta con artists. You see what I did there? Yeah. My name is Kevin, and I am surprising you by starting off this episode instead of Brian. So, there you go. How's it going, guys? I am super excited for these cards. Like, I cannot wait for this Tuesday coming up. And as such, I thought I'd send in a little recording here to start off our episode. And obviously, this is our off week, so I will start us off. And then we've got Brian to finish up with some more to talk about the brawl, as well as some cards that interest him. So let me begin with, just right off the bat here, I want to talk about Helpless Hatchling. So if you haven't seen this one yet because you didn't tune into the final reveal stream or catch everything else near the end, the final card dump, kind of an interesting card. So I've said in the past that I'm a big fan of one drops, like, and I'm just always interested in like where they're going with their, you know, design direction, because there's only so much you could do, you know? I mean, you can't give them too many stats or they're crazy. Or if you do, you have to give it a major drawback. And, you know, so this one is super interesting, though, because first of all, cute, really cute. I mean, it is the cute card of the expansion, and possibly also maybe the really good card of the expansion, because here's how it goes. It's a little pterodactyl, tongue kind of sticking out the side. So Helpless Hatchling, 1 mana, 1/1, which, you know, whatever. It is a beast, which keep that in mind. Death Rattle, reduce the cost of a beast in your hand by 1. Which, again, doesn't sound like a lot, but you only paid 1 mana for that. So essentially, the mana that you put into this, you kind of get back as ramp into a future beast as well. And this is a beast, so, you know, if you're playing any class that has beast synergies, of which there are several, especially in this expansion, you're onto something here. You know, I mean, you could play this in Hunter, you could play this in almost anything now, because a lot of the Loas that we've got have a lot of beast synergy built into them, just baseline. So, yeah, really exciting card, actually. I'm interested to see how this slots in, especially as a neutral, you know. You just never know where it's going to go. And I'll remind you, too, so, you know, not only does Rastakhan's Rumble have a lot of beast cards, but we're still in the rotation right now with Un'Goro, which was all dinosaur themed, had a lot of beasts going on back then too, especially in the classes that, you know, specialized in dinosaur usage, if you will. So yeah, I think it's just going to be pretty good. Excited to play around with it for sure. So next card, I definitely want to talk about the priest spell Mass Hysteria. Before anyone, of course, listening to this suffers from mass hysteria and starts, let's not even go down that route. Let me describe what the card is first. So it's a 5-cost spell. Mass Hysteria, force each minion to attack another random minion. So, okay, obviously, like, when you first read this and you think about it, you compare it to Brawl in your mind. And in some ways, like, yeah, I think they made the point on, I forget which podcast, maybe it was The Angry Chicken, where they were saying that in some ways it's even more brawly than Brawl, because you're truly making all of the minions on the board brawl with each other instead of just going away into a little dust cloud and spitting out one guy, right? So it's very much like Brawl in many senses, but where it's different, and a point that I don't hear being made too often, is this. So obviously you get to choose when you get this off, right? But you can also do it after you've gotten your attacks off. So say you've got a board that's kind of standoffish, you know, you've got a few smaller minions and they got a couple bigger ones. You can clear your smaller ones just by bumping into the giants that you're up against, for instance, and then cause those two giants to crash into each other, or any other combination of the sort. So you think you might win the brawl a little bit if you do a couple favorable trades before you do it? Then there you go. I said brawl there, didn't I? I meant mass hysteria. Yeah, very brawl-like, though. So anyway, I'm excited for this one. And priest in general, just kind of the direction they're going with a few of these things. As a class, it doesn't seem like, at least on face value, they got as much powerful stuff as some of the other classes we've seen. But it's hard to say that and without totally testing out everything. Because, you know, Talanji and Bonsamdi could even have some synergy with each other, potentially. It's just, you know, that's a wait-and-see class, I think. So moving on, though, to another neutral legendary. I've got to talk about Mojo Master Zihi. Maybe it's Zihi. Let's go with Zihi. So Mojo Master Zihi, 6 mana, 5/5. Battlecry, set each player's mana crystals to 5. So, okay. Totally interesting. We've got interesting stat line, first of all. So, okay, when you're reviewing Hearthstone cards, one of the first things you need to look at is the stat line versus the mana cost. And that kind of gives you a little bit of clue into how much you think Blizzard is really wanting us to play these cards. By that, I mean, you know, if you get something that's totally wrongly costed, or you sit there and you think about it and you're like, oh, well, pretty good effect, but the body is terrible, then a lot of times the cards is just terrible. I'm sorry to say it, but a lot of times those kind of gimmicky cards find their way into meme decks, which, you know, of course, Brian and I love, but it just isn't the power level you're looking for in an actual constructed, you know, tier one top level deck. But this, okay, 6 mana, 5/5. Battle cry, set each player's mana crystals to 5. Okay, we've seen a lot in the past. The main one popping up in my head is Emperor Thorason, which, if you guys don't remember from Black Rock Mountain, that was the 6 mana 5/5 that reduced all cards in your hand by 1 every turn that was alive. So, you know, there's power in this stat line. We've seen it before across a number of other cards, and this one's just so interesting. And I don't know. Because obviously you're resetting the clock a little bit. You're setting yourself back to 5 mana crystals. You're setting your opponent back to 5 mana crystals. I mean, it's like you're bringing anti-ramp to both sides. And you'd have to be playing a deck that really benefits from this. And obviously it's going to be more impactful against decks that really thrive in the late game. Because think about it. You could be playing a mid-range deck against a control deck, right? They're trying to go super long, and you're just trying to finish the game out. You need to block them from being able to get off their, I don't know, let's go with Zul'jin. Sure. Zul'jin, the new hunter hero card. Say you want to block that and keep those spells from going off. Here's a chance to do it. And honestly, if your deck is designed to function a little bit better around 5 or 6 mana, then, yeah, you're on to something here. So, I don't know. I think it's really interesting. It's another wait and see. It's another, kind of like the first one that I mentioned, that Helpless Hatchling, in that because it's neutral, it could go anywhere. And again, because this one was announced so late, this has to be one of the ones that they're genuinely excited to see what people do with. And as such, I'm really excited for it, for sure. So anyway, that's my thoughts on a few cards here, and I will kick it over to Brian to finish up the rest of the show. But again, guys, get in there, play some games. Obviously, by the time we do the next episode, this is all actually officially going to be out. And if any of you are in the Kansas City area, again, I'm going to be at the Fireside Gathering at Pawn and Pint, kind of in the downtown Kansas City, kind of north side there. So yeah, come hang out, play some games, unwrap some packs. It should be a good time. Anyway, Brian, really quick, awkward segue. What cards do you like in the set?
Well, Kevin, I'm glad you asked that question because now I don't need to think of a witty intro. Hey, folks, how's it going? I will say that I think at least one of my picks is going to surprise some of you, and maybe it's this first one. So the first one I want to talk about is Serpent Ward. It is a 2-mana, 0/2 that reads, at the end of your turn, deal 2 damage to the enemy hero. Now, this is the first neutral totem we have had in the game. Okay, maybe technically I'm wrong because, yes, Nightmare Amalgam is our first neutral totem because it's a neutral dragon elemental totem everything, but this is our first neutral totem-specific only totem card. And actually, the fact that Nightmare Amalgam is in this means that any class can really have a totem deck now, well, at least 4 totems. But what I like about this card is it's a soft taunt card. Now, we've talked about soft taunts before, in that those are cards that they don't necessarily have taunt themselves, but they have an effect that if it's allowed to go off every time, bad things are going to happen for your opponent. So they're going to want to do something about that card as soon as possible, which means it's almost like as if it had taunt. This is kind of a soft, soft taunt card. And I say that because it's not the most devastating effect, right? It's not going to snowball out of control all that quickly. I mean, it's just two damage to the opponent's face. What could possibly go wrong? Well, there's also the issue of the fact that it's 0-2. It doesn't actually have taunt, so what's to stop your opponent from actually running something into it? Because it's kind of fragile. Here's the thing. I see this going in a deck where you put the Serpent Ward behind taunt minions. I'm seeing this working out in the Shaman deck that favors taunt minions. Of course, we have Serenite Chain Gang. We can truly see how long that could go on. And Shaman has some really nice tools to make Serenite Chain Gangs really scary after this expansion, with that one that one creature that bounces things back and gives it +2/+2. But I digress. I see this going in a Shaman deck that heavily favors taunt minions, and between taunt minions, throw in a couple of healing rains to keep your life total up, perhaps a few other tricks. I feel like a deck like this would win mostly by keeping your opponent by bay, while the Serpent Wards, perhaps you get both of them out, and spells do most of the dirty work. Now, is this a top-tier idea for a deck? No. It's kind of fun and meme-ish, and that's kind of how I roll here, so this may be one of the first decks I put together. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to kill my opponents with Serpent Wards because I just feel there's a bit of satisfaction in destroying my opponent with totems. And again, Shaman doesn't have to be the only class that you try a strategy like this. You can run this in Druid. Druid has no problem generating taunt minions. It also has no problem keeping its life total up, armoring up. You could run this in Warrior, who can also armor up like crazy. Man, there's a lot of potential for this card to just be annoying. And even if it ends up being the target of some form of removal by your opponent because they can't get to it because you have taunt minions up, that's fine. It's done its job by getting rid of a removal spell for your opponent, which means one less thing you have to worry about happening to your other minions. So that's why I'm really excited about Serpent Ward, a seemingly harmless neutral totem. Moving on, I want to talk about a legendary neutral minion, my favorite legendary neutral minion, I believe. And, well, I feel like we need a little bit of music before I go into this one. Yes, it is the Dead Man in Hearthstone, the Undertaker. I'm going to call him the Dead Man anytime I talk about him on Hearth Casual. Be ready for that. So, the Dead Man, the Undertaker, is an 8 mana, 8/5, and it has a battle cry that reads, "Gain the death rattle effects of 3 friendly minions that died this game." This is such a cool card. Now, some things that obviously work well with this are classes that favor death rattle strategies. So Hunter, sure. I haven't even started to think about the Hunter possibilities, but what I have thought about is Rogue, where Spirit of the Shark is a pretty neat card to work with this. Now, Spirit of the Shark doesn't do death rattle synergy, but Spirit of the Shark does double battle cries, and the gaining of death rattle effects is a battle cry. So, that would be 6 death rattle effects on the Undertaker if you have Spirit of the Shark out. You drop Spirit of the Shark on turn, what, 7? Then turn 8, drop this bad boy? Holy cow. That's a lot of death rattles. Also, in Rogue, a well-timed Necrium Blade could get you some extra value out of the death rattle effects. Priest, of course, is another solid pick for this. Imagine getting out the Undertaker, then playing something like Vivid Nightmare on it. All of a sudden, you have an 8-1 with all those death rattle effects on it. That is pretty bananas. And, of course, going for minions with high-value death rattles in your deck is one great strategy to go for this. Devilsaur Egg is a no-brainer to put in a deck that's running this. And I could imagine things, you know, like Mechanical Whelp. Sure, let's have some 7-7 dragons when the Undertaker dies. But even low-power death rattles, like simply drawing a card from Bloodmage Thalnos or from Loot Hoarder, can be great because this is getting three different death rattle effects. So let's say when the Undertaker dies, at a minimum, if you don't even do any extra synergy, well, you could end up with, say, a 5-5 Devil Sor, draw a card, and I can't think of another death rattle that's pretty cool. Those are a couple of stronger ones. Let's use the one where the 4-5 taunt tree that lets you gain health. So 5-5 Devil Sor, draw a card, gain 4 health. That's a pretty cool death rattle effect. Of course, I'm just scratching the surface here on this card. The way you build your deck is going to impact how successful running this legendary minion is. Obviously, this isn't your win condition, but it's a really awesome legendary minion to put into a very death rattle themed deck. I think that Rogue and Priest are going to make the most use of it. I could see Hunter getting some value out of this too, especially in Wild. And I think that this will be my day one craft. If I do not get the Undertaker just by opening it up in packs, I will craft it without hesitation. My final card I want to talk about, really short and sweet here, because I spent forever on the other two cards, is Shieldbreaker, a 2-mana, 2/1, with a battle cry that reads, "Silence an enemy minion with taunt." This is so important in Arena to have this card. I am so happy it exists, and it might even be playable outside of Arena when you consider aggressive decks. This could be a scary addition for Zoo to run, or not Odd Paladin, because it's not odd, but an aggressive even Shaman deck I could see running this. It's really interesting because, of course, the Ironbeak Owl originally was a 2-1 with Silence, and I would say 90% of the time you played Ironbeak Owl to silence a taunt minion, because the taunt was probably the most annoying thing. So Shieldbreaker's back, or at least a 2-1 with silence is back, although it can only silence taunt minions. I think one of my highlights of Hearthstone for 2018 will be the day in December where I play this against an enemy's Void Lord and just cackle maniacally. It's going to happen. I'm going to run into some control warlock. They're going to drop Void Lord. I'm going to shield break that sucker and hopefully watch the other person concede. Well, that's not going to happen, but I can dream. Those are the three cards that I am fairly excited about. I'm excited about a lot of cards in this set, and I can't wait to play them all in less than a week. Holy cow. Even sooner if you go to a pre-release. And, of course, if you're in the Kansas City area, attend the one that Kevin's at. There are pre-releases happening everywhere. It's going to be a fun time, even if you have to wait till the 4th. This is going to be a fun set. I don't know if it's one of the most broken sets or most powerful sets we've had in the game, but I really like the flavor of the cards. I really like some of the stuff we've seen in here, and I'm going to have fun building decks using these cards. With that said, there's one little bit of business we need to do to finish up here, and it's something we do on every half episode. Let's head into the Brawl Breakdown. Alright, so the Brawl Breakdown here is the return of Mechazod. Mechazod, of course, is a very popular co-op tavern brawl in which you and your opponent are actually working with each other to defeat Mechazod, which is a neutral minion that I think starts out as 2 power, 90 health, and you have to take him all the way down to 0. Along the way, he gets buffs, he destroys minions on both sides, he makes things just really rough on you, and sometimes RNG can go against you and you just don't get the right draws, but this is a pretty fun deck to play, fun brawl to play, especially when the draws just line up right, and you understand that the point of this brawl is to not only survive yourself, but to help your opponent survive and help your opponent's board be able to overcome Mechazod. So in this version of the Mechazod Brawl, you are going to be able to play as Medivh or Malfurion. We've seen this brawl before with Uther and Anduin, and I think we've seen this before with Medivh and Malfurion as well, I want to say. But, so this is a repeat brawl, but I can understand if a lot of you haven't played this one before. So, each of these decks are pre-constructed, you don't need to build your own, and I'm going to take a lot of my tips off of the strategy that's mentioned off of Hearthpwn, so props to them for drawing this all out. If you end up playing as Medivh, the big thing to remember is spell power. You want to have your spells buffed up to do as much damage as possible. There are a few cards to think of that will really work well in your deck. Brand Bronzebeard, an old wild card that doubles your battle cries is in there. That will let you do things like draw four cards with Coldlight Oracle, or heal up 8 health with Refreshment Vendor, or 6 with Earthenring Farseer. You can also do things like Arcane Golems to give your friend mana crystals and ramp things up. Basically, you're going to be zapping Mechazod with spells, taking advantage of spell power, and just trying to put the burn on as much as possible. If you're playing as Malfurion, Malfurion tends to be the side that does the most support in this brawl, especially because Malfurion has access to mana crystals not only for himself, but for his opponent. So you want to play cards that are going to give both of you mana crystals. I'd say if you have to choose between getting mana crystals or drawing cards early on, ramp up those mana crystals. The faster you get to 7, 8, 9 mana crystals, the better. Jungle Moonkins give both players extra spell damage. There are cards like Millhouse Mana Storm, which is going to give your Medivh player free spells, which is a crazy thing, especially if you drop Millhouse when Lorewalker Cho is on the board as well. That is bananas. Also, another thing to consider is Force of Nature and Savage Roar, the old classic combos in there. Violet Teacher is in there as well, and having so many spells, you can fill your board with tokens for Savage Roar, or just fill your board with tokens so that they kind of take some of the damage from the abilities that Mechazod fires, whether it's that there's the Salvo that targets 3 random targets, and building a wide board will help kind of mitigate that so that both you and your opponent do not take any extra unnecessary damage. That's most of the tips from Hearthpwn, and I agree with all of them. There's one more tip I want to add to all of that. Do not, under any circumstance, fill your side of the board if Mechazod isn't on it, which means during your turn, do not have a full board. If you have a full board, and this is really important as Druid, because that's where the token generation really comes in, if you have 7 minions on your side of the board and you end your turn, Mechazod destroys the entire board. And that's sad, sad times. The first time that I played this brawl, I was Medivh. The other player played Malfurion. He filled his board, Mechazod destroyed it all, and I conceded because I was that mad. But yeah, please don't fill your board, especially if you're Malfurion. Do the right thing. Give room for Mechazod to come over onto your side when your turn is over. That pretty much breaks down the brawl. It is a simple co-op brawl. I would only play it once because all you need to do is win to get the pack. If you want to try out both sides of it to experience how it is to play as both Mage and Druid, sure. But, you know, this brawl is fine. It's a kind of a mild brawl, something to just give us a bit of a distraction until Rostacon's Rumble comes out. Speaking of the Rumble, when the Rumble releases for everyone on December 4th, you are going to get a free Legendary Loa, along with the 2 spirits that complement that Loa. You are also going to get for free 6 packs. But what if I were to tell you that with little extra effort, you can change that 6 free packs to 7 free packs? What you want to do is go to this Team Spirit promotion page that is on Hearthstone's site. Choose the team that you are going to root for, which Loa is your Loa of choice, whether you're going for Bwonsamdi Zombies, or Grawl Sharks, or Akali's Rhinos. Choose your team, mention about it on social media, so on and so forth. But as long as you declare your team and are logged in the Battle.net when you do so, you will get an extra free pack of Rostacon's Rumble once it releases on December 4th. You need to participate in this before the 4th in order to get that extra free pack. I will include a link to the page in the show notes for this show. That, my friends, is going to do it. A kind of longer half episode than usual, but hey, the hype is here. The rumble is about to get on, and I am ready for that rumble. I cannot say the line that involves the words ready and rumble because I do not want to get sued. But I am prepared to rumble. Are you? I hope so. Kevin and I will be talking about it next week, I'm sure, as we will just be a couple of days removed from the official start of Rostacon's Rumble. Have fun with the new expansion. Enjoy every bit of that you can from these first few days of the expansion, because that's really where the magic of being a casual player, I feel, is at, when everyone is still kind of exploring a set for the first time and is trying new crazy things and playing them against each other. This is the best time of the year to be a casual Hearthstone player, and I hope you make the most of it. Until next week, for Kevin Ellis, this is Brian Black, reminding you, go Shark.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.